The following is a reading from Thomas Murphy's Pastoral Theology. Preaching should be with tenderness. A large part of the audiences to which we preach consists of persons over whom is resting the sentence of condemnation to death, eternal. They are all sufferers. At the same time, they are our fellow beings, our kindred, men flesh of our flesh. They have the same nature, feeling susceptibilities, hopes, and fears with ourselves. For their deliverance from all the miseries and dangers of sin did Christ die as well as for ours, and that because his heart was moved with deep pity for us all. Their souls are at stake in the message we deliver them from the lips of God. It will prove the savor of life unto life, or of death unto death to them. A dry, cold, unfeeling delivery of that message to them would be cruel heartlessness. We should feel for them in our inmost souls and let that feeling influence every tone and every word we utter. Our tenderness should be like that of the apostles who could write, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For we remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day. Because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are our witnesses, and God also, how holily, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Why did God appoint men rather than angels to be his ambassadors to a lost world? He might have sent angels, or he might have conveyed the truth to each soul in a miraculous manner, or he might have used other methods, but he chose men to be the heralds of mercy to their fellow men. Was not this because they could feel for those who were sinners like themselves as no other creatures could? Because they could speak from experience when they press home God's gracious offers? Because they could interest them as those who had the same wants and longings? Because of that deep sympathy which binds them in a common brotherhood? And because God has made this arrangement, we should ever proclaim his messages with the warmest sympathy toward our kindred according to the flesh. There is something in affectionate tenderness that goes directly to the heart and calls for its responsive kindness. It awakens attention, convinces that the speaker is sincere in his appeals, and touches sympathetic chords which thrill out from speaker to hearer. As he weeps or smiles or hopes or fears, or is filled with awe, so they also are moved and their hearts warm with his. This tenderness will melt them when neither arguments, nor threatenings, nor warnings, nor invitations, nor anything else would have any effect. This is a way to get at the hearts of the audience and hold them and influence them by the grand motives that are furnished in the gospel. To speak in an unfeeling manner is sure to repel the hearers and close up the hearts. It leaves the impression that the speaker is not sincere in what he utters. It sets men to finding faults and objections to the discourse. It positively hardens and renders the mind insensible to what appears to it the merest platitude. Either these are the effects of heartless preaching, or it is not listened to at all, but men turn from it as if religion were of little account. To deliver to men the messages of God in which life and death are at stake in an unfeeling manner is as cruel as it is sinful. The nature of the message we bear, the identity of our interests with those of our fellow men, the consciousness of our own many, many imperfections, and the suffering condition of our hearers all demand that we should preach to them in the most tender manner. With great truth and force has the thought been presented by an able writer. There is something in an affectionate statement of gospel truth which is peculiarly calculated to find its way to the heart. Christianity is a religion of sympathy. It is founded on the principle of human wretchedness. It meets man in every species of sorrow and affliction. It takes him by the hand when deserted by human supports. It pierces the clouds which throw a melancholy gloom over the path of life and opens before the way-worn traveler a hope full of immortality. Let us reflect upon this peculiarity of our holy religion and consider what an advantage it gives us in our public addresses. By far the greater part of our congregation is suffering in one way or another. We cannot enter a family and be permitted to know what is passing within it without perceiving that there is a worm corroding the root of their comforts, some poison arrow drinking up their spirits, some intolerable burden subduing their strength. To such, how suitable is the invitation of the compassionate Savior, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How appropriate is the character of the great high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. To such, how adapted are the consolations of the Spirit, the promises of the gospel, and the resting place of the saints. To overlook such circumstances and to discuss abstract truths in a cold and formal and heartless manner, oh, what a loss of opportunity! What a mockery of human misery! What a dereliction of duty! What a prostration of the office! What a fearful responsibility! Let us pray for the heart of a shepherd, for bowels of compassion. Let us take the sufferer by the hand and conduct him to the Savior. Let us lead him to the wells of salvation. Let us pour the healing balm into his bleeding heart and assure him that there is one who sympathizes with his sorrows and who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The experience of all really successful ministers agrees with this. We may talk, says Asahel Nettleton, of the best means of doing good, but after all, the greatest difficulty lies in doing it in a proper spirit, speaking the truth in love, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I have known anxious sinners drop the subject of religion in consequence of a preacher addressing them in an angry tone. "I was never fit," said Edward Payson, "to say a word to a sinner, except when I had a broken heart myself, when I was subdued and melted into tenderness, and felt as though I had just received pardon to my own soul, and when my heart was full of tenderness and pity."